This week on RSPNB Update, the team brings graphical updates to the free-to-play world with new foliage, lighting, and skyboxes. We ask, is this the best bang for your buck RuneScape update? Then we have wilderness patch notes and a frank discussion on Zamorak drop rates. This is RSPNB Update, episode 899, recorded Thursday, September 8th, 2022. Graphical bang for your buck. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. You're not hearing deja vu. It's the same panel as we had last week. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane.
And welcome back, Zant. We didn't expect to be hearing from you again so soon, but lo and behold, we got another graphical update week this week.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah, I know when you saw this week's this week's update, you were chomping at the bit to get on this one because, you know, it's a graphical update week. Let's be 100% honest with that, but it's not the traditional graphical rework as people had come to expect in the past, right?
Right. It's just more trying to move things towards this consistent style that RuneScape's been moving towards recently, which I think they did a pretty good job at personally.
Yeah, wonderful work of Mod Blackwitch and Mod Alex, but we'll talk more about that in just a couple minutes. Tanis, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you for your sacrifice for science. More on that in a bit. but of course, if you're joining us for the first time, you can find full show notes at update.show. We talk about the weekly RuneScape updates, news content. Nonetheless, you can find me in game at Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79, and Zant can be found at iZant. And do feel free to join our friends chat BitsBytes or Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. And with that, let's just dive straight in. You can find the full show notes at update.show and talk about this. They're calling them environmental touch-ups, but the news post is graphical updates, free-to-play areas, and this is a number of graphical updates surrounding the Archaeology Guild, Barbarian Village, Draenor Manor, Edgeville, the entrance to Alcarid, Falador Lighting Update, Goblin Village, the Grand Exchange, Ice Mountain, Lumberyard, Lumbridge, the Lumbridge Crater, the Paterdomus, and Varrock. Okay, so we talked to Maud Blackwitch recently on Behind the Crown, and the discussion we had with her was that there's just so many old aspects of RuneScape that, yes, you know, they could graphically rework huge swaths of the area and whatnot to effectively build new content on top of the map squares, but at the same time, that's a huge, huge undertaking. And this kind of led to the project that we saw that came out with the 300 mil celebration at the Grand Exchange, where the Grand Exchange got a bit of a facelift and bit of a lighting update. And now that's what we're seeing in all these different areas. Just as you said, Zant, starting this off, making RuneScape look a whole lot more consistent.
Yeah.
And Tanis, what do you think going into this? Because I mean, at the same time, you play with the screen magnifier. Do you feel that lighting updates and, you know, just changing a ground texture here, making little updates to, in effect, bring it into line, will help your experience?
I think they do, because it was not just that, but they also did some touch ups with some skyboxes, and that is something that I do use. The thing with this update is, yes, you know, they call it, it's free to play, right? But it's also like, it's all the starting areas. And just so happens, a lot of us are going to be in those starting areas real soon. So it was really good timing, and it makes a lot of sense, because you don't want to go from what we're used to go back to a time warp. Which is what would have happened. It's not the complete graphical rework. I don't think we needed that. Some of these little touches are enough to make it feel a lot more uniform, makes it feel like more like the rest of the game, which I think is going to be really good since a lot of us are going to be going through that early those early areas again.
Right, and for folks watching on the video version, I'm standing at the foot of Paterdomus right now. And you would think that this is something that was just, you know, recently graphically reworked and built from the ground up. But with the skybox and the lighting that's used, specifically the point light shadows and the torch, which you notice, Zant, and that's why I walked here first to show this off. This looks like a different RuneScape than last week, and we need to be 100% clear. This started off as a game jam project. So there's that angle of it, too. So, with that, I guess the next question that follows from this is that, you know, we look into how wonderful these areas look and when our characters run through them, as the two of us are doing now. When it comes for bang for buck, I think they did a pretty good job on this. And I'm going to ask you, Zant, I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you a simple question first. I'm going to ask you a more complicated question after that.
Right.
Which of the reworked areas on this list that was adjusted this week is your favorite?
I've got to say, I think it's the area north of Falador. Simply because there's just such a nice variety of vegetation and flowers and foliage there now that just didn't exist before. Like, running through there, it looks just like a nicely upgraded version of itself. And, you know, with this scale of an update, I think that's one of the spots they nailed. Paterdomus is another one because of the point light shadows and how it really, the new lighting, in addition to those new point lights with the shadows, they really set the mood to be a lot different. Like, you can just look at the comparison that's in the news post and the prior one, it looks so much flatter compared to this. It just adds a whole new amount of depth to the whole scene. And yeah, I got to go with North Falador overall, though.
All right. I'm going to make
just all the flowers and stuff there look great.
I'm going to make my way there eventually. And you don't really appreciate what we are talking about with Paterdomus in particular until you see the AB comparison, which you can find in the news post. And if you haven't seen that, definitely go do a look at that. It's linked in the show notes at update.show. And if you have the ability to do that, just go and see how that looks in person, in game, after looking at the AB comparison. And you're right, the old one does look flat. It looks like, let's be honest, maybe a 2008 to 2012 era RS screenshot, I feel.
And hey, even in that screenshot, you can see where the skybox just kind of cuts off at the top, too.
Okay, so that's what that is. Yeah. I was wondering if that was some sort of artifact or if that was just something to do with how the screenshot was taken. Okay.
Well, if you remember way back, like, there was a time where we couldn't really turn the camera that low to look up at the sky.
Right,
like that.
Okay.
So I guess it kind of worked for the time, but, you know, didn't really last.
So the skyboxes that put in really weren't then designed to be looked up at, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they basically have an open top to them, whereas the new ones, they form a full dome by the looks of it.
All right, fair enough.
I had something there, Shane.
Yeah.
Something that I kind of glossed over, but I do think it's important. Like with Paterdomus in particular, there's a lot better contrast for me. The lighting, it's easier for me to see the light versus the dark, which isn't always easy. Contrast can be kind of difficult, but it can be super helpful for, you know, someone like myself.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things I learned working with you is that if you're going to do something, make sure it's got a great amount of contrast to it, because that ensures that it's readable for most everyone, but for people who are visually impaired like yourself, that contrast just helps out just that extra little bit. So
yeah,
that's definitely Actually really good to hear on that.
And I must say, in general, I think the lighting changes that they've done around the place, generally they're leaning a little bit more warm now, but they are also way more contrasted. Like, just looking at the comparison between the two Lumbridge shots, the highlights are so much brighter now. And the shadows look like they stayed about the same, but it's just that it has that much more depth to it.
Yeah, and I think that makes it look more real. And I'm wondering if they did the lighting the way they did previously because they might have been building for the Java client and not necessarily the NXT client. Because remember, one of the things we got with NXT was the NXT client had a wider spectrum of colors available to it than the Java client did.
Yeah,
when it comes
couldn't
to
imagine
stuff.
That Lumbre just had a lighting update since then.
Yeah. So I see that happening. The other question I wanted to ask in relation to this, and it's going to open up other questions down the road. What if the perception that people have of RuneScape, and this is something Tanis can chime in on too, what if the perception people have of RuneScape is just from old screenshots on the internet, and they're not necessarily up on what the modern engine is capable of with that? And what if that's pushing people away? And this is going to fix that. Like, it is, like, I don't want that to be a problem, but I could see it being a problem, you know?
Well, I mean, you go ahead, Tanis.
Okay, I'll make this quick thing because you probably have a little bit better take on this. But for me, for my money's worth, when you're looking at something like that, I think that if someone was interested in nostalgia, they're going to play old school. And so when they look at RS3 and they see, you know, something that looks that old, they're not going to want to play that. Whereas, you know, sometimes you can suck up, you know, bad graphics if you're like, oh man, it's something I played when I was a kid type of thing. But if that's the case, you're going to play OS RS. You're probably not going to play RS3. We're doing a better job, and I think, and I hope that, you know, Fresh Start Worlds, if it can bring anyone back, they will get to see what RS3 is capable of.
Okay. And I'm showing what that's capable of right now, and it's leaning on exactly what you said, Zan. The lighting is warmer, the highlights are more brought out, the shadows are roughly the same, and one of the places you can also very clearly see this is Varrock. So there's that. But yeah, Zan, give us your take on that, if you feel this could turn people away, because I imagine that's a different perspective from somebody who looks at environment than what we're providing right now.
So the way I see it, it seems like RuneScape's always had this kind of identity of just kind of having mediocre graphics.
Yep.
Like when you talk to people who don't really play the game, or they know the game, or they, you know, have been acquainted with the game, you know, you make the jokes. It, like when we get graphical updates, is this still RuneScape? Like we even say it with our own modern game here. So yeah, I think people just have a perception that this game isn't really focused on the graphics, and it's just solely focused on the content of the game. But I feel like a lot of those people who kind of feel like that just really haven't played 3. They have this impression that it is kind of just the same old look it's always had, you know, with more draw distance and stuff, if they're even really aware of the NXT. But I think this Fresh Start World coming out right after we're getting this graphical update, I think that can kind of change that for some people. And then once they get into other places like, you know, like Elder God Wars Dungeon and some of the archaeology sites and basically all of the more recent areas, I think they're really going to start to see that, wait a minute, this game has some really nice looking areas in it. And I think just seeing what the game is capable of in those areas kind of will restore faith in that a little bit.
Yeah, another thing you have to come see yourself, Zand, if you haven't seen so far, is the air altar and the lighting coming down from the sky on that now, and how that looks with the modern lighting around it and the environment art on the ground. So have a look at that just east of Barbarian Village. So
yeah, I gotta say that whole area over there, I think they did a fantastic job on. I think it is the air altar, the one that's way up on the hill, correct?
Oh, that's mined.
That's mined. That one specifically, I adore because it just has all the flowers up on that hill, and you can see all the variation in there.
Okay.
And then the altar's at the top of the hill. I just got here to the air altar, though, and yeah, I totally see what you mean. It's got that nice blue lighting coming down from the sky onto it.
Yep.
I don't think that light casting onto the floor was actually there before. I mean, I remember right. the rays being there, but that's definitely new.
Right, and that's what I was pointing out, because, and if it was there before, someone can correct us, because what that means is that this graphical update has effectively allowed everything else in game to pop and bring forth what was already there, making it that much better.
Now, I seriously think this little change here with that blue light, that really does set that altar as like a focal point when you're walking by, whereas before it kind of just, you know, kind of just blends in a little bit.
Yeah, you said it best, Shane, when you said bang for your buck. I mean, this really is an example of really smart, judicious use of resources and just getting the most out of it. I mean, you wouldn't think that a little bit of lighting can do what it did, but...
And ground texture,
yeah, I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, this versus a full rework that if we had pushed for, it would still be in the works. It might be 2, 3, 4, 5 months down the road.
Right, and then some tech doable. Might change and get canned, mm-hmm. like happened with the Sears Village rework.
Yeah, exactly. These are the kinds of things that we actually can get. They're feasible, and they really make a huge difference.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this started as a game jam project between Mod Blackwitch and Mod Alex, so it wasn't even something that was initially put on the schedule. Is just something when the JMods had a few days to work on something of their own choosing that these two chose to work on and bring forward, and they were able to QA it in a remarkable amount of time. I think it was only like a month and a bit, if I remember, when this game jam actually was thinking about it. So,
wow.
Yeah, this came out way sooner than I expected it to.
Because I think when Blackwitch was first tweeting about this,
it seemed like it was... I mean, she was definitely asking for some feedback from people with the tweets, and it just didn't seem like this was something that was going to happen so soon. And when it did happen, like, it's way more areas than I expected it to be. So it really does seem like they've kind of fine-tuned their scope for what they want to do with these graphical updates and brought it down to a more reasonable level where they're just using the like assets they have. And I think that's a lot more realistic than doing a whole rework of Sears Village, like they had planned years back, and it just kind of never happened because it was just such a large scope of an update. They wanted to like work the castle into the mountain and everything like that. But, you know, updating the textures and implementing some new foliage and rocks and stuff here and there, as well as the lighting, I think that's much more of a reasonable expectation for them to actually go around the areas of the game and actually get these updates in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gives the illusion of a bigger update. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it feels bigger than probably what it actually is.
Right, and I guess this would be, and I don't know the answer to this, and it'd be interesting to hear this. How exactly do you update ground textures in an area in RS? And I mean, that's not something people are going to be able to answer easily, because we know RS is a completely custom engine, so it could be very complicated. It could be very easy to do that. We don't know. So,
yeah, from my experience working with game engines, I mean, I've worked with like Unreal and Unity, where they have their own custom like terrain tools for working with the ground textures, and you can basically just paint them on. But I really have no clue what RuneScape would do. You know, we've learned there's so many quirks to this engine and how it renders things. I could imagine it was quite a challenge to get this working properly.
Oh yeah, definitely. But at the end of the day, I think players in general were happy about this update in terms of what it provided to them, and that when you start to think about it, maybe these are the kind of updates that players just want. Maybe they just want these. There's a portion of the player base that probably just wants these quality of life updates, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and for all intents and purposes, I seriously think, I guess one of the things I was a little bit worried about with this coming into it was, are these updates to the ground textures and all this new foliage going to clash with what we have there already? And I don't really think it does.
No,
I think it works.
It feels like it fits in quite nicely.
I mean, there are a couple areas where it's a little funky, like near the Invention Guild, for example, how one side has one cliff style, the other side has the new rocks.
Right.
I mean, stuff like that, you can kind of tell they're a different style, but it's not jarring. I mean, for us who've been used to staring at RuneScape as it is for years, I think this is a huge upgrade for sure.
Yeah, see, and I didn't even pick that up when I walked by, so.
Exactly. See, there you go.
Yeah. Another area that's looking good is the area just south of the Champions Guild and whatnot as well. Like you guys say, it's hard to believe that this is RS, and if RS was to just look like this as it was with compared to how it was last week, I think if you did an A-B comparison on that and you could turn it on or turn it off and show that, I think you'd be having an entirely different conversation where people thought that this was some huge graphical update, but it's really just a paint job, which is doing wonders for the world. So, overall, I think this is an A+ update in terms of what it's been able to provide.
And I know Mod Blackwitch was talking on Twitter about wanting to do more of this, so fingers crossed that we get some more in the future.
Yeah, and that's actually where I wanted to go next. I was going to say, you know, you compare this to what we had in Kandarin and whatnot, you know, south of Ardoyan. That's an area that's a prime candidate for this as well.
Yeah. So. I believe that area doesn't even have the new ground textures that were introduced like around the time archaeology came out.
No,
or slightly
doesn't.
Before then. Yeah. Haverly definitely has those. You can see the rock paths. Those are definitely slightly newer than what Kandarin has.
And just to show the difference between how the lighting and the textures look for people watching the video version, I just teleported to the monastery and I'm running southwards towards Yanil, and you can see the old ground textures and you can see the old lighting. You can definitely see what we're talking about with the highlights and how they just don't pop. And then we got some ground textures here and whatnot that go back probably to RSHD days based on how they look. So you can really see the AB when you teleport into one of these locations from one of the other ones. And
actually, if you... Oh, actually, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
If you teleport to the Farming Guild and just run to the west a little bit, you can see a spot where it transitions from the newer, slightly newer textures to the old textures. Just right there. And
you said run to the west?
Yes.
Okay.
On the path leading down to Ardoyan.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do that now.
Because the Farming Guild has the slightly newer textures to it. It doesn't have the grass update, obviously, that we got with the free-to-play areas yet.
Yeah, but you can definitely see that. And yeah. I think the only concern about this kind of update, and in my view, I know it's not going to be feasible to do this for the entirety of the world, but in my view, this just shows that, hey, these kind of updates are needed, and the more these things you update, the more jarring the rest of the world is going to be. So with that, I'm going to say, let's get going and update the rest of them. And I know that's not 100% feasible thing to do right now, but based on what we're seeing here, in terms of just the transition between different areas, boy, that would be nice.
Yeah, it really would be. I think the next logical step would be to kind of just move over to Taverly, start that area, and then just work your way west.
Well, Taverly's been kind of done when they did the rework a number of years ago, though. It's not, you know, 2008 era. It's definitely within the last 5 years or so, I'd say.
But it's definitely one of those areas that people are going to see earlier on. And it also does kind of have the newer textures as well. So, I mean, if they just went in and updated some of the foliage, I think it would basically look in line with what we have to the east.
Right, foliage and lighting, yeah. I guess, would be a good choice for that. So
yeah, but I'm really curious to see where this goes next. I'm really hyped that Mod Black, which actually, and Mod Alex as well, both putting time into this. It's a fantastic update, and I think it's something that was definitely needed. So
100%. Tannis, you have anything else on that before we move on?
No, I guess if we are going to say places that need some love, can Felipe Hills get some love?
Felt the Hills?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that'd be part of the Kandarin zone, I'd say.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that definitely needs some. And I feel like the desert's been had some work, but I would like to see what could happen with this stuff. Giving a little bit more contrast to it,
you like know, that. I don't remember what the desert textures really look like.
I know we got new cube maps and skyboxes in the desert with the mobile launch, and obviously the Menafos area has its own graphics behind it and whatnot. So, but and you know, maybe it's time for another follow up of RuneScape's graphical identity over time monthly bit, because we did do one of those back in the past, and we had a discussion talking about the various shifts and whatnot in terms of how the environment has changed on that. And, you know, there's also been so many inflection points with that in terms of, you know, Prif was one of them too, I think, in terms of the Prif graphics and how those came in. But I'm getting ahead of myself to the then and now segment about that, because we're going to talk about that in terms of how that went. But before we do that, I want to thank some Patreon supporters this week. In particular, I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycol RS, Diana, Dominic F., Drama Free, Alomady, Flazaman, Premilk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Ling01, Lucky Ducky, Mohan V., Nate the Crate, Nick G, OTR Gamer, Patty the Architect, Parnassius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Stob Eve, The Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you everybody for your support. It truly means the world to us. And coming soon, very soon on your Patreon feed is the September monthly bit, which the Patreon supporters voted for unanimously. I think this was our first monthly bit with 100% of the vote. We talked about all of the skills in RS and rated them on the typical RSBNB update tier list system. And, you know, we had a fun discussion with that, Tannis. I feel like we both had to compromise a bit, and there were some shocks along the way.
Less than I anticipated. Going into it, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to be. And we were remarkably had a lot of consensus on a lot of skills, but at the end of the day, we gave it the RSBNB treatment there, didn't we?
Yeah. I almost want to tease what one of the S tier skills is, but I don't want to do that because that would give too much away.
There's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tease what a D tier skill is, because I think we can all guess what that is, but I don't want to spill the beans on that one either. So I'll just say, if you're interested in hearing about the RSBNB update skill tier list rating, you can check that out at patreon.com/RSBNB. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. You gain access to this monthly bit and the entire back catalog of 49 other monthly bits. This was the 50th monthly bit. And we've covered everything. We've covered everything from dailies to PVM tier lists to using legacy mode combat to the comp cape rework and so on and so forth and achievements. It's a really interesting monthly discussion that we get to have here. And it's one of my favorite parts of doing the podcast. So if you want access to the skill tier list or any other monthly bit, you can check it out starting for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/RSBNB. For that, you'll also get a special mention in our show notes, and you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, we have the VIP tier, where you get a special VIP rank on Discord, mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show, plus everything else. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have the $5 RSBNB Update Insider tier, where you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, and you'll gain access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, which there are some definite funny ones in the queue on that. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, then check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. But once again, thank you to the Patreon supporters for allowing us to do what we do here and indulging us in things like skill tier lists and whatnot. Those are really fun. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. We got some patch notes this week, and they're not insignificant patch notes.
Not quite the patch week, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, starting off, we got some changes to the wilderness. Mandrith's special slayer task list has been updated, no longer requiring slaying green dragons and blue dragons, fire giants, gargoyles, or greater demons. And this is like that task list that Morvryn will give you, or any of the other Slayer Masters can give you their special task, right?
You know, though, Shane, and once again, check out the monthly bit on the skilling tiers. I don't like this as a special assignment. The special assignments used to be, do you remember what they used to be, Shane?
Yeah, like there was one like go kill Jad, right?
And go kill the Calphite Queen. This should be the Wildy Worm. This should have been the Wildy Worm. I don't know why this isn't special. This is just another task. But sorry, that's my okay. Rant.
No, that's fine. Because they removed, like I said, the green and blue dragons, the fire giants, the gargoyles, and the greater demons, but replaced them with the Acheron Mammoths, the greater demon, Ash Lords or Berserkers, Hydrix Dragons, Ripper Demons, and Soul Gazers.
Which is better, but still you can get those as a normal task. Like, it used to be something really outside. I think even Morvryn did.
Yeah, Morvryn has his Slayer challenge, too.
He has Araxor, right?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it was Araxor, yeah.
Yeah, and each time you do, you kill one of the bosses, you get a handicap.
That's right.
Morvryn's includes Araxor, the Giant Mole, the Dag Kings, QBD, Zilyana, Kriara, Kirill, Sutsaroth, Gryarador, the Calphite Queen, and the KBD.
Yeah, all bosses. That, to me, is special.
Whereas with Mandrith, it's 15 of each of the monsters in the wilderness, pretty much. The Abyssal Demons, Mammoths, Black Demons, the Greater Demon Ashlords, Hellhounds, Hydrix Dragons, Strike Worms, Ice Strike Worms, rather, Calgarian Demons, Lava Strike Worms, Revenants, Ripper Demons, Soul Gazers, and Water Fiends.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's the Wildy, so it all sucks, because they're going to... I mean, you're going to get mobbed.
I wish you were here to cover this update, but that's when you were severely under the weather, yeah. Because we really liked it.
Yeah, but you're also not Slayer people.
Yeah, and we learned that on the monthly bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just giving folks a bit of a hint at some of the debate that happened on that one. Okay, that'll be the spoiler. I tried to rate Slayer as a D, and these guys wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that Shane doesn't really like Slayer.
Yeah, I knew he was going. I knew he was going to go after. I didn't know that he would have a prepared statement of how much he hated it.
Also this week in Wilderness Patches, they moved the Tetracompass excavation location because monsters were preventing its excavation there and that they'd attack you.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Which we all know how you can get mobbed in the wilderness. And this is where Tanis made a sacrifice. He was trying to test whether killing the Abyssal Lords and Savages in the wilderness decreases the relevant Slayer task by... one, as it says, or if this meant something else, because previously, if you kill the Lords and Savages inside the Sintistan Asylum, it reduces it by 5 and 3, respectively, the kill count by 5 and 3 of Abyssal creatures. So what we were wondering, and we weren't able to test this before the show, is if you have a Lord or Savage task, does it in the wilderness go -1, or was it in error, say, going -6 or -9 for a Savage, or -10 or -15 for a Lord? And that's something we weren't able to clarify with how this patch note was written.
No, that was my fault, because when I got mobbed, I got mobbed. Like, I expected multi-way combat. I did not expect, like, 20 things and the Lord at the same time. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, I couldn't eat fast enough. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty chunky, and I mean, if you get multiple lords on you at the same time, good luck. Sorry. The greater demons have been updated. The poison and stun effects can be applied on greater demons, and their stats have been changed. There is also now a drop table for greater demon ash lords and berserkers, which were the original creatures that we saw in the Zamorakian Undercity, but also made their debut as Slayer monsters here.
So did those just have like a greater demon drop table before?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know how... You know how low level that was. So,
for something with nearly 200k HP.
Precisely. And the special effect on greater demons in the Zamorakian Undercity has been removed from the greater demons in the wilderness, because those greater demons in ED4, as we know, were effectively mini bosses at points. So, thumbs up. Then we move on to the Dragonkin lab. Magic damage type is now displayed instead of a melee icon for the Death Breath and Fire Bellies attacks. Good. And the flinching effect in Death Breath and Fire Bellies attack animations has been decreased. I feel like I need to go back and do Dragonkin lab again at some point. It's been a while.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll do it one day.
Places my stomping grounds.
Yeah, I imagine as such.
I actually haven't tried it with the new arrows yet.
Oh boy, you're in for a treat with that.
I know, I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, it's a question of if you want to put the expense to it, right? But, I mean, you don't need to do it for the trash, but definitely for the bosses, yes.
Yeah.
In Daughter of Chaos, prevented familiars from being taken into the Moya gameplay sections. I wonder if you could use a familiar to attack the bosses. That would have been interesting. That would have been interesting given the combat in that quest. And Moya's gameplay has been adjusted for a smoother experience while playing as her. Then we move on to other patches, and these are not insignificant either, because an issue has been fixed where Fury and Frenzy's damage over time would not increase when used with Greater Barge. Because that's the whole shtick of Greater Barge, is it's supposed to increase the dot damage of these two abilities. So there's that. Players are also no longer disconnected when looting the Archglacier under certain circumstances.
A good thing.
Yeah. People who have unlocked Kresbot will no longer get an additional Kresbot when using the Most Wanted Automaton card.
Oh. I knew people that had like 20 Kresbots in their
These are the metronome people, right?
Yeah, just saving them, you know, just for like a look at this. You know how RuneScape players are. We collect the weirdest things.
Yeah.
The Kresbot collection.
And buying an item from the Grand Exchange after teleporting to the Max Guild no longer causes the combat spells interface to appear over the other right side interfaces.
That's really weird. Strange.
That's one of those bugs, you know, stand on one foot, recite this chant, and then spin around three times and it'll happen. So I just had to include that one because it was such a weird one that was off the beaten track. And also fix a disconnect when unequipping the Bow of the Last Guardian while casting Ricochet. And there's the patch notes for the week. Once again, not insignificant. And people in the past have talked about the amount of updates that have been delivered, but when you think about it, we have the graphical updates this week, and now a good collection of patch notes. I think we're two for two on that one. So, well done, James.
Yeah, with these patch notes, I'm almost surprised we got the graphical update that we did.
And think if we didn't have either of them, you'd wind up in a situation where you'd have effectively no update this week. So,
yeah.
But Mod Sponge has also delivered with the Zamorak drop rates post.
Are you excited about this, Shane?
Well, I have mixed feelings on this post, in all honesty, you know? it's nice seeing how it works. But at the same time, this post pissed off a lot of people because it broke their assumption of how the game worked. And it effectively meant that, you know, people were doing 99% kills because they felt that was the most profitable. But math-wise, in terms of where the odds land, it seems like 50% in rage is going to be the most profitable for people based on the amount of drops they get and just how long the kills in general take, assuming you're not me going for the endurance run. So
yeah, I have an analogy for this. This is like when you, before Christmas, you get in your parents' closet and you unwrap all your presents ahead of time and you know everything, but nothing is super exciting. It's just like, oh, that's cool. And you're kind of disappointed.
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
Like, yeah. Because now we know exactly what it is, but nothing is like what we thought. So,
right, yeah. And that's why I question if it's a smart idea to release posts like this. Like, the players want it, obviously, but it went against entirely what they were expecting, so it was panned. Kind of like Fresh Start Worlds.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still think it was probably a good thing, though, so that people did know, like, we can work the meta out at this point. Whereas before, if you're working under a false assumption, you know, you think you're going to get a brand new, you know, state-of-the-art, badass, custom-built PC, and you're being extra good, right? But you find out, actually, you're getting an Atari.
I don't know if that same analogy works here. Zan, what do you think of the post?
I really don't know. I haven't really gotten into Zamrak yet, but okay. From talking to a couple of friends about it, it seems to have really changed, like, what people do to actually make money on this. So, like, why would you really push it unless you just want to work for records or for your own personal purposes? I mean,
right.
It just feels like releasing these caused more issues than positive things. And it makes me question whether people will maybe want to see the drop rates in the same fashion in the future.
Or even if they should just make the executive decision and say no, right?
Yeah, like, let players figure it out.
I mean, there was a time when that was the norm, right? I mean,
I feel like in this case, that probably would have been better if they just kind of kept it quiet. Because from what I can understand, this completely changes things, right?
Yeah, it does. People used to cap 99, now it's 50, I think. That might have changed in the week since looking at it. But effectively how it works is there's loot tiers that are granted based on the enrage completed. So 0 to 19 is tier 1, 20 to 49 is tier 2, 50 to 99 is tier 3, and so on and so forth. And that continues climbing up in regular increments like that. And you use those loot points. So let's say you complete your 50% enrage kill. That puts you at tier 3. That's the same as being at 99% in rage. So if you're at tier 3 loot, what that means is that if you look at your in rage, that gives you 22 loot points with tier 3 loot. So 22 loot points with tier 3 loot for completing 50% in rage. And if you complete the elite dungeon before you take on the boss, then you get an extra 75% loot points. So, the example given, a player completing a 300% kill, and then Zamrak will have 87 loot points after rounding. And this extra 75% does not affect story mode. Do you think this could be something people are upset about? Because, you know, they're given that freebie to skip the dungeon at kill 25, but then you're giving up on 75% of the loot points, or an additional 75% loot points with that.
Isn't that choice, though? Isn't that the trade-off?
Exactly. I think it's that entitlement where people think if they're sitting there farming their boss that they should be able to get more than what somebody's getting who's running the dungeon, but it's clearly not designed that way.
Go fly a kite. Just saying, like, how does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's take these 22 loot points. Let's just say you do your 50% kill without going through the regular dungeon. After this, the system loops through the drop table and subtracts points based on what they roll, and then the item is placed in the chest, and this continues to happen until the player reaches 0 points. So what this means is that the player can roll slightly above their loot points, so that a player can roll a 5-point item with only a singular point remaining. So it goes through a common table, and there's numerous things on here, like alkables, blood runes, huge rune salvage, orichalcum salvage, the hydrix and onyx bolt tips, soul runes, dwarf weed, torstal, so on and so forth down the list. And each one of these, and interestingly enough, the alkable is worth 5 loot points. So in theory, with that, you could get, you know, 5 alkables with those 22 loot points. And it says also that a player has a 33% chance at getting an uncut onyx, and if they fail this roll, then they get a chaos relic rare instead. So there's our alkables. So basically, you have your 22 points, you roll a certain number of times until you're out of loot points, and that's how you roll common items. Then, when it comes to rares, as a base, players have a 1 in 100 chance to hit the rare drop table on Zamorak. If you're using a tier 4 plus luck ring, this brings it down to 1 in 99. And Enrage further will bring down that number. And then it says your chance of receiving a bow piece or Codex of Lost Knowledge also scales with Enrage. Other items are unaffected by Enrage in terms of rares. So it only comes into your loot points. So the only thing the extra Enrage affects is the bow pieces and the Lost Knowledge codexes. And just as for some base numbers here, if we're looking at 0% Enrage, a bow piece is a 12.5% chance. The vestments, hoods are 9, or the vestments, armor pieces are 9%, Chaos Roar 16.5%, Lost Knowledge 35%, and so on and so forth. And then that would be at 0% Enrage. So let's just say you're sitting at 50% Enrage, okay? You would have a 1 in 97 chance of getting that rare item, which means a 12.5% chance of getting a bow piece and a 35% chance of getting your Codex of Lost Knowledge if you land on that rare table, that 1 in 97 roll at 50% Enrage. Now, if you go up to 99% Enrage, it's still that 1 in 97. But if you take one step further to 100%, it goes down to 1 in 80. Then if you're doing something absolutely absurd, like, say, 1,000% Enrage, that's 1 in 37. But if you step down to 900 to 999, that only changes to 1 in 40. So you see that Enrage at the top end really doesn't affect it that much. And I think that's what people were probably upset about, is that they wanted to be rewarded by getting their super sweaty kills at high Enrage. And then you can just have a very topical look at this drop post table, and you'll see that that's not the case. You're not going to be rewarded for those sweaty kills as much as you would if you just, you know, farm 50%.
Yeah, well, the reward is look at me.
Exactly. And you know, Enrage means that. That's your way of pushing yourself, I feel. So.
Yeah.
We already mentioned that completing a dungeon increases the number of loot points that you get, but it also increases the rare chance by multiplying their chance denominator by 0.75. So, a player that completes the dungeon and kill Zamorak at 300% Enrage, their rare chance is now 1 in 50.2. And you see the problem here. I think people are upset that they're not being rewarded for the sweaty kills, and they don't probably like that if you go through the dungeon, you have a higher chance of getting rewards.
Yeah, well, I'll be damned. You're rewarded for work rather than...
Right. And
you know, the skill.
And that's why we come back to the beginning, and I don't think releasing this was a good idea.
Probably not, but this is like, it's like you go out there and you spend a lot of money on a badass car, right? You got a higher percentage chance of getting a hottie. But it doesn't matter whether it's a Porsche or a Mercedes. Still the same percentage of getting a hottie. Right?
That's an interesting analogy, and I have no comment of whether or not that works. Zap?
I have no idea.
He's like, I don't know. I think it works. I don't know. I've never had a Porsche or a Mercedes.
Right.
Well, anything you could drive for that matter.
Yeah, but that's a different discussion. And then
that's how it works in my head.
Right. Fair enough. And then we get to bad luck mitigation. After everything else, bad luck mitigation will come into effect, and it applies after 10 kills without a rare drop. And they say, at this point, you'll be getting sad, and rightfully so. So to tackle this, each kill beyond the 10 threshold reduces the player's rare chance denominator by 1. Bad luck mitigation has no effect on what rare will roll, only the chance to hit the rare drop table. Bad luck mitigation is not increased by and does not affect story mode. The maximum chance to get a rare caps at 1 in 20. So, for example, if a player has defeated Zamorak 20 times without a drop, and that player completes a 300% kill, their chance to hit that rare drop is now 1 in 57. So there's that.
That's a little too mathy for me, but yeah.
Well, it basically just means that bad luck mitigation just makes it more likely for you to hit a rare. It's not going to necessarily make your commons better. It just makes it that much closer to hit that rare. So, pet chance. The pet is not part of the drop table and it's not influenced by any modifiers. It has a base drop rate of 1 in 500 or 1 in 300 in solo mode with a threshold of 100. And when you think about it in terms of the amount of time it takes to kill the boss, 6 to 7 minutes probably or so, if you're going solo, that is in line with what we have with other bosses in-game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, that sounds pretty average.
And, you know, I appreciate the post. There's been, of course, lots of discussion on the episode when this came out about whether or not the items are too rare and whether or not RuneScape's rare toys should be given to more people. But, you know, I think there is always going to be some kind of conversation and people maybe not being totally happy with how the drop system works when they realize it's not either how it was in their mind or it's completely different to what they would like it to be. And I think the biggest sticking points for people are going to be not being rewarded for Enrage and not being, or rather being rewarded for going through the dungeon despite having the skip unlock. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe, if, you know, I could see someone that's really into PVM having a different opinion, but from what we know, I don't know. I'm not noticing anything that seems way off, but, you know, I couldn't kill that boss if you gave me all the time in the world and all the money. Like I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, and I mean, just to provide that high-end PVMer perspective, David messaged me when this post came out. He said, are you happy with 0% Enrage being more GP per hour than anything else?
But it's 50%, right?
I know, 50%. It was I think the one that was mapped out to be the sweet spot from one of the Wuzzwer videos, I believe. In terms of, you know, just factoring in all the math behind this, and you know, a wide set of kills and whatnot. So,
Yeah.
Like, it looks like 0% is good, but I think 50% was mapped out to be the sweet spot. So.
Okay.
Well, take it or leave it. I mean,
I'm
fine with this. I have no qualms with this, as I haven't really killed Zamorak that much because I'm guarding my position on the high scores right now. Still. But yeah. I know a lot of people were upset about this, and it really raises the question, should drop rate posts be released in the end? So I don't know, folks. Let us know what you think about that, because that's an interesting discussion, I think. So.
Yeah, because in all reality, I'll at least speak for myself, not a top-end PVMer. I don't know what I don't know. This doesn't look like a problem to me, but I don't know what I don't know.
Right, fair. And with that, I think we can move on to our pick of the week. And Tanis, this is a pick of the week that's based on a book series that they did have a movie of as well, but you got the actual TV series now here from Prime Video, I think, right?
Yes. So if anyone out there, if you've ever heard of the Jack Reacher books, they are absolutely wonderful. Action, adventure, mystery, they're just great. And Jack Reacher is just a man's man, badass. So, and we all know and love him from this book series. They did do a movie. Unfortunately, they cast Tom Cruise, who is not your picture of a man's man. Decent movie, but this series that we have that's called Reacher is on Amazon Prime. It's been out for a little while now. I've held off from watching it because I didn't want to be disappointed. I finally took a chance, and I gotta say, who they cast this time, this is Jack Reacher. He is 100% Jack Reacher. The story is absolutely captivating. It drew me in just the first episode. Really, really good series. And I'm probably about a third to halfway through the series, and I'm loving every minute. Like, I'm like literally yelling out loud, like, yeah, you know, like I will say stuff like that. I'm like, oh, you know, like, but yeah, I like, you know, any fans of the male physique, Jack Reacher is he's a man's man. So, check it out. It is a really cool show. And it's very, very true to the books, which is always a challenge, right? You always think, oh, the book's so much better. This is actually just right in lockstep with the books.
That was actually going to be my next question. Where does this land in terms of book, movie, and TV show? Which one is the best? Does this eclipse the... I know you said it eclipses the movie, but does it eclipse the book?
No, I mean, the books are wonderful, and there's like, oh gosh, I think there's like 18 or 19 of them, right? So there's just a ton of material there. But it's on par. What it does best is it gives the representation. The person you see in your mind when you're reading that book is what you see when you watch the show. It really brings it to life. And it's just in the books, Jack Reacher, 6'5", like 250 pounds, solid, dude, built like a brick shit house. Tom Cruise is not.
Like, now, I'm just wondering, what, do you have a bias against Tom Cruise for some reason, or?
No, actually, he's a wonderful actor, and it's actually a decent movie if it was called anything other than Jack Reacher. You know what okay. I mean? Like, if it was just a regular action movie, it'd be a great movie. It's just Jack Reacher is a square-jawed Marine badass. Like, it's no. Tom Cruise is a Navy lawyer from A Few Good Men. It's not the same.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. And you said that's on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
All right. Sounds good. That's Reacher. We're going to move on to our achievements right now. We have a number of them. Starting off on September 7th, we have Atmohua with 120 farming. Fire Frit got 200 million Constitution XP. Battle Slash X got 99 thieving. Ferex Kratos got 99 thieving as well. And Thieves got 200 million magic XP on the 5th.
Next up on September the 4th, we had Robosaur Rex with 120 magic, Worst Tasker with 120 archaeology, XOX Scotty XOX with 120 herblore, and on the 3rd, we had Chaotic Eric with 120 herblore as well.
All right, and then continuing on the 3rd, we have Mr. M with 99 divination. We have Azazoyo with 120 rune crafting on the 3rd. And we have Donna with 99 Slayer on September 1st.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done. Nice achievements. And, you know, I still feel like this. We're coming off a bit off the double XP hype wagon with this. So congratulations to everybody as we move through September now. So well done. Well done all around. What have we been up to? Let's start with you. Let's start with you, Zant. I know you you probably haven't had that much time for RS, but if you have, or you want to enlighten us otherwise.
So last week I was starting to get into a little bit of bossing again. I did some necks. I did a couple reapers. Finally got some money from a couple drops and finishing up. Finishing up 50 forts from some clues, and I hit 300 Reaper points, so I was able to recoup some of my losses from the Chroming 4 situation I had.
Did you tell us about that on the show, or was that just to me?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yes, I ended up... It took me like 16 attempts to get one of them.
I'm yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, please do. It's very... It makes me feel less bad about it. But yeah, pretty much, not to go into detail, I'm basically moving from coast to coast right now. So my RuneScape time has been limited to mobile. But actually, I've kind of started my grind for 120 divination. That's just a cape I've always wanted. And I've really been craving some kind of longer term skilling goal. So slowly chipping away at that. And I've made it from 100 to almost 102 right now.
Nice.
Was at 100 at the beginning of last week.
And reminder for anybody who wants to see where divination lands, check out our skill tier episode on that.
Yes.
How about you, Tatis?
Well, when I'm not sacrificing myself for science, I have been I've been back to the mines. Finished up with another 25k light Animica. It only took about 2 weeks. So now I'm working on some dark, and I am only about 9 mil away from 120. So,
wow, so we'll be reading that out soon then.
Soon, yeah. And I kicked it up a notch, you know. I actually went ahead and bought some Torstal sticks and some skill chompas. I dug out the old pulse cores. So are you, yeah, I mean that's
are you four ticking it?
That I'm not, but I am following Rocketunities when I'm on desktop. When I'm on mobile, I just I'm always using Stone Spirits and Perfect Potion, but I will do Rocketunities if I'm on my desktop.
Right, and I guess I guess for you going for 120, do you like Stone Spirits now?
Oh, I mean, on my end, Stone Spirits are, yeah, I mean, once they gave it an actual use.
Right, recharging the stamina mm-hmm. when you consume one.
Yeah, that with the perfect potions, it gives it a use. You know, their value may not be what PVMers would expect, but I wouldn't mind without them. Like, I'll tell you that.
All right, fair enough. And you know, I feel like Stone Spirits got a bad rap mainly because of the PVM drop side of the equation, so to speak. So I feel like that's where that question came in. So.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. As for me, I've been pushing through Yak Track. If there comes a Yak Track task that is something that I feel like doing, I won't do the Dungeoneering ones. I'm currently working on a Clue Scroll one. But I decided that my skill and kill for this Yak Track is going to be getting those 100 Elder Chronicles for the Master Quest Cape achievement, and then we'll see what happens after that. Because as you guys know, you start off on one of these achievement hunts for Master Quest or Comp or something, and then it kind of snowballs one thing into another and so on and so forth, and the next thing you know, hey, we're going for Master Quest. I'm not committing to that 100% just yet. We're not 100% there right now, but it's something.
Gonna happen.
But it's something I'm thinking of. So
slow chipping away.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, maybe I'll get a die or something with one of the clues that comes up during Yak Track. Who knows, right? Who knows?
Never know.
Yeah,
might get a cape.
Yeah, you might get a cape. You might get a cape on every fifth task as well. I still want the Stargazer cape, so. And with that, I don't think we have anything else for this episode. If you guys want full show notes, you can find those at update.show. You can also subscribe to the podcast on any podcast listener out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Casts, Amazon, Stitcher, and of course YouTube at youtube.com/rsbnb. That's where we post the video versions of the show, the nibbles, and sometimes micro lessons along the way, like our last one on runecrafting money making. Give us a visit at youtube.com/rsbnb, and if you like what you see, like and subscribe. It greatly helps the channel and podcast out. But you can get full links to subscribe on any of these platforms by visiting update.show/subscribe. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBnb Updates. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya
guys.